Welcome to our 6 p.m. worship. Those of you here in the building, those of you who are with us online, we're going to open our worship in song. We'll sing a couple of songs that are not in the book, and after we sing these two, we'll be our minds will be led in prayer. We'll sing "A Shield About Me," followed by "Light the Fire." Stand and sing this next one, "Light the Fire," and after this we'll be sung led in prayer.
Like fire, pray together. Heavenly Father, we trust you implicitly, and we trust your word, even though we sometimes don't understand it. And we have many friends about us that we have confidence in them. May we have confidence in our church family that they will support us. Out in the world, not so much. Help us to have discerning eyes and good ears, and help us with our thoughts so that we can discern between what's garbage and what's good. And as we speak with our brothers and our sister and the people in the world, help us to only tell the truth. And when we can hear your voice, help us to answer that call and do what's in our heart, and do what you would have your son and us do in every situation. For it is in your son's name we pray. Amen.
We're going to sing a couple verses, a verse or two from a few songs, talking about how Jesus calls. I think this is the idea for a lesson tonight. If not, then they're good songs still. These are typically thought of as invitation songs, and maybe not sung during worship as much, but I think it's very appropriate. So we'll start with number 930. We'll sing a verse of that. And then 907, we'll sing a couple of verses there. And then 947, we'll pause in between each one, but just wanted to give you a heads up when you're like, wow, we didn't sing that one very long. So it's all right. We're singing a few songs. 930, Jesus the Loving Shepherd.
Jesus the Loving Shepherd, calling me now to come into the fold of safety, where there is rest and room. I'm in the strength of manhood.
Thank you. Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, calling today.
Scripture reading, and Tim will bring the lesson.
Our scripture reading this evening comes from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. And we do have Bible story time tonight. 2 Peter 1, 5 through 10. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. And if you practice these qualities, you will never fail.
Good evening. Good to see all of you with us this evening. If you're visiting with us, we welcome you and urge you to come back and join us anytime. If we haven't gotten to know you yet, please stick around. Let us get to know you a bit. And if we can help in any way, please tell us how. We'll do all that we can. Hope you've had a good afternoon, though. It's been a bit rainy here and there, but better days are coming, I hear. So we'll trust in that. This week, maybe not, but the week after that, perhaps. But we're glad you're with us tonight, all of you online. We're thankful that you are joining us as well. And we're here, of course, to praise God, to worship him, and to study from his word. So I hope you've got your Bible out, open, ready to go. And let's take another journey through the word of God. When I was growing up, my cousins and I would often play, sometimes in the woods there, right where we lived, or sometimes in my grandmother's large front yard. And in the evenings, I often heard my mother calling out, "It's time for supper, come home." And as you might guess, I didn't miss many of those calls. But that's the idea. She called for us, for me particularly, and I would come. Well, I've not heard that voice in the last 6 years. She passed away in 2019, having lived a full and a good life. But that voice, I can still hear it in my mind. We read about in the Bible about God issuing calls. Sometimes it's for this or that, but God spoke to people and gave them a calling. And that's just all over the place, especially in the Old Testament. But I wonder, is that still the case? As Billy read just now from 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10, he talked first of all about that, how we're to supplement our faith with virtue, and then the list that goes on following that. And then he said, "Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall." Our calling, our election, those are interesting ideas. And calling, of course, as well as election, implies it comes from heaven. Have we heard that? Have my ears ever heard the call of God? And so, while many of us would say, "Well, I've never heard God's voice. What's happened? What's wrong here?" Let's study the Bible. Let's find out the answer to that question. Does God still call? Now, first of all, let's talk about the idea of our Lord calling and how it's so clearly stated in the Word many times in the Bible. And I'm talking about Christians, first of all. This is something that pertains to us. I want us to get that idea right up front. Otherwise, we think, well, what's the point? Why are we talking about this? Let's go, for example, to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9, and Paul says, "He saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began." So there he's talking about God and how he has saved us and called us. Why? Well, he talked later in the verse about a purpose, a plan that God has for us, an inheritance that we will inherit one day if we respond properly to that calling. But again, how does that happen? Has that happened to me or to you? Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1 is another place where we can see the same idea. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1, Paul said, "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called." We have been called, Paul says. Are we walking in a manner that is worthy of that calling? And so again, we are confronted with the fact that God has called us. But how? Does that mean we've heard his voice? Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1, another writer inspired by God says, "Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling," writing to Christians, he says, "you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus the apostle and high priest of our confession." So it's something he says that we all share in. We all share in that heavenly calling. Is that something that we've experienced, that we recognize, that we take seriously? And it brings to my mind what Jesus did early in his ministry, Matthew chapter 4. We're not going to read that passage right now. But in Matthew 4, verses 18 through 22, Jesus is calling the first four who will become apostles, Peter, Andrew, James, and John. And we sometimes sing the song to the kids. Jesus called them one by one, Peter, Andrew, James, and John. He called them. And what do you think happened on that occasion? Well, it's pretty obvious when you read the text. He was walking by, they were working with their fishing gear, and he called out, "Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men." They heard, they responded. And in the Greek, the word there, kaleo, is the same word that we've looked at in the previous verses about our calling as Christians. So does it always carry with it the idea of an audible call, of something that we hear with our ears, sound waves included? Well, let's go back to the Old Testament for a moment. We're not going to spend much time there because we're very familiar with the idea. But let's just take one example, 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 4. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 4, and this is, of course, where young Samuel has been brought to Eli the priest. His mother Hannah had prayed for a son, and finally she has this son. She had vowed to God, "If I can have a son, then he will be lent to the Lord for as long as he lives." And so now that he's weaned, she brings him to Eli. And one night, here's what happens. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 4. Then the Lord calls Samuel. And Samuel said, "Here I am." Now, again, how do you interpret that? Was that a message that somebody slipped under the door? Was it handwriting on the wall? Well, the way I understand it is it was an audible voice. The Lord called to Samuel, and he said, "Here I am." And I think that's how we're meant to understand it. He actually heard a voice. He responded to it. And the third time, as he was directed by Eli, he said, "Speak, Lord, your servant listens." And we could find many examples in the Old Testament. Men like Noah, Abraham, Job, Moses, Isaiah, Jonah, and you could add to that list. All of them, people that heard the voice of God with their ears. God spoke to them. I think, again, that's clearly how we're meant to interpret those passages. And so in times past, God has spoken audibly. That's how he issued his calling. But again, we're asking the question, what about now? And I'll be honest with you, I've never heard the voice of God. If I did, I didn't recognize it. I think I would if I heard it. And I think many of you would make the same admission. Yet there are many in the world today that will say, "Well, I've heard it. I've heard God speaking to me. He called me to preach. He called me to go to this person or do that job." And they will claim, "I heard the voice of God." Well, what is it? What does the Bible teach us on this question? Does God still call? Does he audibly issue a call? So let's turn our attention now to that question. What is the nature of the Lord's calling in these last days? And I'm using that last phrase deliberately because it's a large part of the answer. The nature of the Lord's calling in these last days. Now, first of all, an analogy. We're all familiar, I think, with the idea of a will. Somebody writes their last will and testimony or testament. And this is the directions that are to be given to the heirs, and the heirs will be listed in that will. And at the appropriate time, they gather together, the will is read, and now they understand. Here's what happens to what has been left behind. And it's the person that wrote the will, the one who is now deceased, it's their voice, even though you don't hear that voice. And yet that voice is still legally binding. It is still valid. It still gives directions that must be followed. Well, that's kind of what we're going to say about the Lord's calling today. So we know that God is eternal. Let's get that off, you know, first of all, let's get that out of our minds. I'm not saying that God has passed on and now he's left us a will. No, that's not at all the idea. God is eternal. He never passes from the scene. And yet he may choose to change the way he communicates with people. And that's what we're going to find right now as we go to Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Turn with me now to Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. And here's what the writer says as he begins this amazing essay that he writes about the Christian faith. He said, "Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets." And that's true, isn't it? We could come up with a number of ways that God communicated with people in the past. He spoke, for example, to Moses through the burning bush. He spoke in dreams. He spoke in visions. He spoke by means of angels that were sent. And you could add to that list as well. And that's what he's saying there. He says in Hebrews 1, verse 1, "Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world." So the writer there is saying, this is now how God communicates. Don't look for visions. Don't look for dreams or burning bushes that never burn up. God communicates to us through his Son. Okay, so his Son, we understand, that's Jesus. Is that actually what happened? Well, let's turn our attention now to John 12, verse 49. And what I'm giving you now is somewhat of a chain of verses that will help you to show people this is how God communicates with us today. If they have any doubts, if they're confused on the subject, this chain of verses makes a pretty tight argument, I believe, as to how God communicates with us. But in John chapter 12, verse 49, Jesus on that occasion made this observation: "I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment what to say and what to speak." So you might say there that Jesus is speaking for God. That's exactly what he says, isn't it? "I am telling you what the Lord has told me to say. I'm following his commandment, and so here it is." And so Jesus, while he was on earth, was God speaking to us today, just like Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 observed. Hebrews 1 and verse 2, rather. But there was a limit to how long Jesus was on earth. We understand that. He spent about 3 years in a ministry. He was on earth maybe 33. That's the best guess of many. But there did come a time when he left the earth. And then what? Is God done speaking with us? Well, listen again to Jesus in John 14 and verse 26. John 14 and verse 26. He just told his apostles that I'm leaving, but I'm not going to leave you without help. I'm going to send the Comforter. Your translation may say the Helper. It's the Holy Spirit. And he says this about the Holy Spirit and the benefit it would give them. John 14 and verse 26, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." So the Holy Spirit is going to remind you of those things that I taught you while I was here in your presence. And they must have said, "Well, thank goodness. You know, my memory is short. Somebody was just saying earlier, I've got a prayer request. I'll send you a text. Thank you, because I'll forget it by the time I get home." Well, the apostles were people, and they needed that reminder. And the Holy Spirit would remind them. Plus, he would teach them all things. Jesus did not discuss all subjects that pertain to Christian living and Christian government, church organization, things like that, as far as we know. But the Holy Spirit would take care of that, and he would reveal to the apostles all that they needed to know. So again, we're looking at part of that chain. God spoke to his Son. Now Jesus says the Holy Spirit will take my place and lead you further and speak those things that I have told you, and all things will be taught to you. Well, now let's go to 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, because here is an apostle. He wasn't there on that occasion when Jesus made that statement in John 14, but he is an apostle. It's Paul, of course. And listen to what he says about why he teaches what he does, how he teaches what he does. He says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual." So Paul there says, that's happening with us. Those of us who are apostles and other inspired prophets and teachers, we're receiving from the Spirit the things that you need to know. And notice what he says. It's not just we're giving you the ideas we've been taught. He says, we impart this in words. In words. And I think that's very specific. Sometimes you can communicate an idea to me, and then I'll restate it, and you'll say, no, that's not what I meant at all. So give me the words. Give me the words you want me to communicate. And that seems to be what Paul is saying here. When we write by inspiration, we are giving you the very words that we have been taught by the Spirit. It's not human ingenuity. It's not our cleverness. It's what the Spirit is teaching us. And so again, that gives us assurance. These are the things that God wants us to know. Now let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. 2 Peter 1, verses 20 and 21, because as you probably heard me teach on other occasions, those miraculous gifts came to an end. We had them on earth for a time when there was no written Bible, New Testament, and that was to give us the ability to know what God wanted of us. But the time came when we now have a completion of revelation, The apostles, who were the ones that conveyed that ability to do miraculous things, they were all gone. Nobody left to pass those on. So now what? Well, Peter talks about that in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. No prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Now, primarily there, Peter is talking again like Paul was. This is where we get our information when we tell you about Christian living. It comes from the Holy Spirit. But did you notice what he said there in verse 20? He said, no prophecy of Scripture comes from anyone's own interpretation. And what is Scripture? Well, the very word means that which has been written. These things that we've been given by the Spirit, we are writing them down so that when we're gone, you'll still have what the Lord gave us to give to you. And so there again, another step in giving us God's call. And that leads us to the conclusion of this chain that we're talking about, and that would be in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, where the writer there made this observation about the Bible you're holding, whether it's a printed one or an electronic one, doesn't matter if it's the Bible. For the Word of God is living and active. The Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. This Bible is unlike any other book you've ever come across. There is no book like the Bible, because it is living, it is active, it is the Word of God. And so if we ask, does God still call us? Well, that leads us toward the conclusion, doesn't it? But now the clincher. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, where Paul wrote, we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. To this, he called you through our gospel. To this he called you through our gospel so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So does God still call? I could have just read that verse tonight and we'd been out early. But you would have been mad at me if I'd stopped so shortly. But you see, that's the sum of what we've been saying is God has given us this written record, this inspired book, and we can know this is the Word of God. It's not just the ideas of some people that wanted to start a movement and they had no idea where it was going to go. This came about because God spoke. He speaks to us through His Son. His Son gave that message to the Holy Spirit, who then conveyed it to the apostles. The apostles then wrote it down, and now we have this amazing book, the Bible. So yes, God still calls, not audibly. He calls us through the gospel, through the word that has been written down. Let's close with looking once more at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. We looked at it earlier. Ephesians 4 and verse 1, Paul said, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. That's our objective now, to walk worthy of the calling to which we've been called. Now, who has issued that call? Paul? Well, yeah, he wrote it down. He wrote those words by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But it's God's call. So how do I walk worthy of the calling that I've received? Here it is. Pick up your Bible. Get started. Because this shows us the path that we're to take and the way that we're to live. A person that doesn't read the Bible, that doesn't expose themselves to Bible teaching, Bible classes, they're going to be in the dark. And we dare not. We dare not be in the dark when it comes to walking worthy of the calling to which we have been called. When my mother called for us to come home for supper, I came. I knew that if I ignored her, I'd pay for it later. In a greater way, if we ignore the call of God, we'll pay for it later. But God calls us because he wants to bless us. That's why he calls us. He said, I don't want to punish you. I want to forgive your sins. I want you to be safe in Christ. And so tonight, if you're not in Christ, we implore you, make that decision now. If you are ready to confess your faith that Jesus is the Son of God, you're ready to turn away from sin, repenting of it, tonight to be baptized into Christ, you can come and we'll rejoice with you, as will the angels in heaven. And if, having done that, you've not been faithful, you've not followed the calling of the Lord, you've not been walking worthy of the calling that you've received, then come tonight and repent of that sin. Pray for forgiveness. We'll pray with you. We'll encourage you. Whatever we can do, please come as we stand together and sing.
Seated. There may be some who did not have the opportunity to take the Lord's Supper this morning, and in just a moment, we will observe that, and as we try to prepare our minds for that, we'll sing, Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Let's turn to 1 Corinthians and read from 1 Corinthians 11. If you have not taken of the Lord's Supper, would you please raise your hand at this time? So we have men in the back that will bring. Looks like we do not have anybody. So in 1 Corinthians 11, we'll start in verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let's go to God. Wonderful Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come to you and in prayer and to speak to you. Lord, thank you for the gospel and how it has called us to walk and do the things that you would have us do. Lord, help us to walk in a manner pleasing to you, to do the things that you want us to do, and to obey your word in every manner possible. Lord, mold us to submit our entire lives and our entire minds and our bodies to you. Thank you for your son that came and died on the cross for our sins, and as we take the Lord's Supper, may this bread, how it represents his body and the sacrifice that he gave for us. Just continue to bless us and help us to do this in a manner pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us also pray for the cup. Heavenly Father, we continue the prayer and we thank you for the salvation that you've given us. We thank you for the rescue mission that you sent your son to be the propitiation for our sins, to die for us in our stead. Lord, thank you for the covenant that you have given us and the promise that you've given us, and help us to bind that covenant on our hearts, to do all that we can to obey you. And thank you for your son's blood that is represented in this cup and how it cleanses us continually as we walk in that path, in that walk in that covenant. Help us to do your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Separate and apart from the Lord's Supper, we also give. And so let us go to God for the offering. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the monetary blessings, the spiritual blessings, the physical blessings that we have. We don't even know how to count them, even if we could count that high. Lord, just be with us and help us to have a grateful heart in all that we've given, and to have the spirit of you in us so that we can serve you the best way possible. Lord, forgive us when we fail you and direct us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's again go to God in prayer. Our Father, we're thankful for this day. Help us to always remember that all that is good, all that is wonderful in this world and in our lives are because of you, that the bad is a result of sin. Too often, even our own sin that we need forgiveness for. As we leave this meeting as a part of your people, we pray that we will carry your word out to the world each day of our lives, so that we may point them to the word and let the word call them to you. Go with us, guard us, guide us throughout our lives. We ask in Christ's name, amen. I have no new announcements, so you are dismissed.